ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
simply engages like an animal and even sleeping, fearing the mating, has spoiled his life. Lord Kapila was very much satisfied by his mother's questions because the answers stimulate one's desire for liberation from the conditional life of material existence. Such questions are called appavargavardhanam. Those who have actual spiritual interest are called sat, or devotees. Satam prasangat, sat, means, quote, that which eternally exists, and asat means, quote, that which is not eternal. Unless one is situated on the spiritual platform, he is not sat, he is asat. The asat stands on a platform which will not exist. But anyone who stands on a spiritual platform will exist eternally. As spirit soul, everyone exists eternally. But the asat has accepted the material world as a shelter, and therefore he's full of anxiety. Asat graha. The incompatible situation of the spirit soul who has the false idea of enjoying matter is the cause of the soul's being asat. Actually, the spirit soul is not asat. But as soon as one is conscious of this fact and takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes sat. Satam gati, path of the eternal, is very interesting to persons who are after liberation, and his lordship Kapila began to speak about that path. In tomorrow's verses, Lord Kapila begins to speak. He responds. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti sva matur niravadyam ipsitam. Niravadyam ipsitam means, very nice, uncontaminated desire. Uncontaminated desire is very nice. Niravadya ipsitam. What she wanted was transcendence. And she didn't want to take her mundane baggage with her into transcendence. So the previous verses, Devahuti's submission to her son, are very important, as Prabhupada is saying here. Just repeating what we've been hearing for the past several days, it's the essential, minimal, you could say, qualifications for advancing. Recognition of one's contamination, a wish to become free from contamination, an aspiration for going beyond that contamination, a recognition that I can't do it alone, a recognition that you are a qualified person, in this case, Lord Kapila, who is that qualified person, and recognizing one's full dependence through the three examples or metaphors that she gave. The transcendental eye, the light by which the transcendental eye can see, and the axe to cut. Although she's expressing her disdain for material attachment, she's recognizing, I'm attached. I'm attached to I and mine, false ego, and the extensions of false ego, possessions that are connected to my false identity. Those are niravadya ipsitam, Maitreya. is recognizing, or Vyasadeva is recognizing, these are uncontaminated desires. The desire to become free from material desire. Even we have material desire, the desire to become free from material desire. And turning to the real shelter that can effect that. That is, the Lord, please remove these material desires. Just like we're hearing in the Yajna with this nice prayer of Prahlad to Lord Nrsingadev. I have no desire other than one thing, my relationship with you. And there isn't anything other than that relationship, then you're the master, I'm the servant, I'm ready to serve you, there's nothing else going on here. And still, Prahlad is praying to Lord Nrsingadev, please remove my material desire. You want me to take some benediction from you? That's the benediction. Please remove my material desires, although I don't have any. It's a little bit like the Gundicha Marjana Lila, where Lord Chaitanya with his associates, they cleaned the Gundicha temple, and after it was all cleaned, they went and cleaned the Gundicha temple again. Second time. And they still found some things in the second cleaning. So, super clean. Representing the cleansing of the heart in order to receive the Lord. Because Gundicha is where Lord Jagannath would go at the end of the Rath Yatra procession. So to receive the Lord, make the heart clean. Very important. Nishyamya pungsam apavarga bardhanam. So the next line, he's indicating that the questions that Devamuti has presented are apavargavardhanam. It's beneficial for pungsam, people in general, to hear this dialogue because the answers increase one's interest in liberation. The question and the answer, both. The answer is, the question is as nice as the answer is. The question inspires, and the answer inspires. Apavarga, vardhanam. Vardhanam means expanding, and apavarga means the path of liberation, or the existence of beyond pavarga. There's pavarga and apavarga. Prabhupada liked to recite in the Sanskrit alphabet. There's one of the fifth letter is pavarga. So pavarga has five parts. Pa, pa, ba, pa, ma. Pa, pa, ba, pa, ma. Each of them represents something. Something, you know, Sanskrit, I know. Pa signifies parishrama. Material existence is parishrama. Hard labor to get that caring. Hard labor to build. You know, how long they've been rebuilding the World Trade Center. You know, next time you visit the Brooklyn Temple, you'll see it's completely changing. There's all around the area this construction, or it's a big hole in the ground and it's taking them forever. I guess because the money ran out, because anyway. Hard labor. And then that's pa, parishrama. Pa, P-H-A, pa signifies fena or foam from that hard labor. Like a horse gets foam in the mouth. Sometimes people, the mouth gets dry. Sometimes in the corner of the mouth, some foam. Pena, foam, just And then, ah, bondage. Where you become bound to the reactions of that fruitive work, and nonetheless one keeps going on with fruitive work. It's a prison house that doesn't let you out once you're in. And then, bha, bha, bhaya, fear. Fear of what? Everything. Fear of the unknown. What's known? What's going to happen in the next moment? It's unknown. Where are we going? It's unknown. Oh, I know, I'm going to work. Oh, yeah. Maybe not. And ma riti. So that's the path of pavarga. And this is a pavarga. Becoming freed from a big prefix, as negation, not pavarga, or liberation. Apavarga, pardonam, standing. Apavarga. So, he's very happy. And so, dia, abhinandhya. Dhiya is a, it didn't indicate, dhi is the mind, D-H-I. He's within his mind, he's thanking her. And then externally, he's smiling slightly. Ita, in Ishat, smita. Smita is smile. And Ishat is slightly smiling. I was thinking to comment on this because when I do go into Windows Explorer, I have New York Times that comes up. I have to have something that comes up, so it's New York Times. So, one of the pictures yesterday was teenagers today, when meeting one another, it's not a handshake or a smile, it's an embrace. I was thinking, this is the Supreme Lord and how he shows his affection. He does it with his eyes, he does it with his smile, he does it with his heart. And guess whether Devamurti was satisfied or not. There are ways of showing affection without physical contact. Krishna did the same thing when he was entering into Dwarka. The ladies on the rooftops that had conjugal affection for Krishna. And Krishna satisfied them completely just by glancing. And as he glanced, his glance, because his Krishna's glance is very powerful. Krishna's glance is not working. With his glance, even with his portion of his plenary portion's glance, he can create the whole cosmic manifestation. He has a powerful glance. Or he can boil an ocean by glancing. Try it, our cooks. Glance even just one pot. You know, it's okay. Boil. Lord Ramachandra, just by glancing, boiled a whole ocean. He could have great dal and rice and such just by the Lord glancing. They would have a fuel shortage. You don't have to worry about petroleum, you know, the oil running out. Just have to come and glance at your kitchen. That is your boiling. So when he glanced upon the ladies at the rooftops, his glance entered their eyes, which then entered into their hearts. And when it entered into their hearts, they felt as satisfied as they had, as if they had embraced the Lord with no physical contact, just a glance. So we're not Lord Krishna or Lord Ramachandra or Mahavishnu, but we're devotees of them, and there are ways to show affection for others by these nice expressions. Within the heart, nice phrase here, dhiya abhinandhya, thanking from within the heart. So you can say with your words, but it starts within the heart. If it's a real thanking, it starts within the heart. And ishat smita, smiling. Now Mahaprabhu would sometimes even embrace. Sanatana Goswami embraced. And so on. So that's not a taboo. But this is a very nice, a very satisfying, completely satisfying way. That when Krishna went into the palaces of the queens, they were so moved just to see Krishna. They got up and they were restless. They didn't know what to do. They wanted to run and embrace him, but they didn't. They sent their sons to go and embrace their father. And the sons embraced the father. It was as satisfying to the mother as if she had embraced Krishna. This is love. Because the child, the son, is the product of the body of the mother. The son goes and embraces the father. It's the mother embracing the father for the meeting with the son. It's just very cultured. America's a tough place to impart culture. It's the culture of no culture in America. But there is real culture. And we're getting some of that from the Bhagavatam here. Dhiya abhinandhya atmavatam, atmavatam. He was pleased with her because of her interest in atmavatam, interest in self-realization. Interest in self-realization. Therefore, the subject that was being requested was Satam Gatir. Satam Gatir. Satam means a transcendentalist, or one who is situated in Sat. So Prabhupada expands in the purport Sat Asat. Sat, the soul is actually Sat. The soul is Satchidananda, as is Krishna, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Sat. But when the soul accepts as his shelter the illusory features of matter, then he takes on this other quality. It's not his quality, but the quality of asat, the quality of temporary existence, you know, like states of emotion. I'm happy, I'm sad, and so on. So many emotions. And one's, you know, steadiness in performing anything. Work, relationships, just, you know, one's on the platform of the mind, which is chanchala. Chanchala means flickering. The mental platform is like a candle flame in a windy place. Very unsteady. could go out. It's the candle flame, but the mind doesn't go out. It just keeps bothering us. Chanchal. I'm very unstable. And although the soul is sat, the soul takes on that quality of being very unsteady. One identifies with what's out there, configurations of matter. And then the subject, the subtle part, that makes me happy, that makes me unhappy, that makes me fearful, that makes me rusty, that makes me angry. My identity is defined by what's out there. But that's not sat. That's not what the soul is. And Devahuti's now expressed, I don't, please. Ah, there's bondage. I want upavarga. I want to be released from that bondage, released from that fear, released from the parishrama, hard labor. I want to be situated in the soul. And there's a lock, and I don't have the key. You have the key. I'll do my part, but help. Impart transcendental knowledge. One other comment about the composition here, just some appreciation of the poetry of the Bhagavatam. In this chapter, 25, Glories of Devotional Service, is one of the important verses of all of Kapila Dev's instructions. Satam prasangam avamiri samvido bhavanti rit karana rasaya ta taj yojana asha bhavarga bhavarga ishrata bhatir bhaktir anukamishati. Very nice verse, self-explaining. But embedded in this verse are expressions that come in that important verse. Satam and apavarga. So it's like a little hint over here to help when this very important verse comes. We are prepared. We have some sense of what it is. And it's like, you know, musical composition. There's like some few notes over here and some few notes over here, and then comes the symphony. I'm not a classical music person, but something like that. There's some hint, very hint, some subtle hint, and then comes the full expression. Siddham, Sangam, Mamaviriya, Samvidho. Kapila Dev is advising Devahuti in that verse to take the association of devotees. He has in the previous verses, he's explained what the qualities of a devotee are. That's another very, very nice verse. Titikshava Karunika Surrata Sarvadinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanam. The character Bhushanam is the ornaments of a sadhu, are those. They're peaceful, they're tolerant. Titikshava Karunika, the merciful. So qualities of a saintly person. So this 25-25 is associate with them. And when you associate with them, bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. You should hear the katha. The katha is not just like, you know, the chirping of the birds in the morning, although they can sound very nice. One of the things I like about visiting New Vrindavan is going for walks in the early morning, and the birds are singing a tune, just this one sing this way, and then that one responds that way, and they sing high and they sing low, and they have a good time singing. But it doesn't lead to, well, it's attractive. It doesn't lead to apamarga. It leads to where's food, where's mating. Maybe, you know, someone comes along and they're silent, or they make another sound that says, look out, here comes somebody, danger, defending. But these sounds, bhavanti, hrit, they manifest within the heart. Karna, through the ear, they enter the ear and go into the chamber of the heart, and they're very thick and rich. Rasayana. Does anybody know a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine? Rasayana is a type of, it's a category of Ayurvedic medicine. It's, well, it's made, one of the bases of it is honey. So it's sweet. But the reason for using honey is not just so people will eat it because it's good for them, they'll just eat it because it tastes good. It helps. Honey can be assimilated very easily within the system, whatever you call it, metabolic system. And so herbs, they don't just like put in some honey and stir. It's a way of preparing so that the herbs blend very nicely with the honey, because you can't cook with honey. It makes it poisonous, Prabhupada. So there's a way, certain way of preparing. And it makes it very assimilatable, the power, the potency of the herbs. So anyway, it's rasayana. So this is transcendental rasayana. It comes from the satam. And the messages, although they're through sound, it's rasayana-like. Very sweet, very thick, and very assimilatable, and they enter the ear, they go within the heart, and they awaken, just as Prabhupada said in the purport. It stimulates the answers to Devahuti's question, stimulate an attraction for liberation. And we know what attraction for liberation means. It means Krishna, our attraction for Krishna. And thus, in this morning's verse, apavarga vardhanam, it's not just the threshold of apavarga that says cease material existence, cessation of material embodiment and the desires that go with it, like shanti, neutral. Just be quiet. Be peaceful. But far beyond peaceful and quiet and shanti is ananda, that prema kumarto mahan. Over and over again, the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly is the it's called in Chaitanya Charitamrita the fifth dimension, meaning beyond dharma, artha, kama, and moksha is the fifth, the ultimate liberation in the language of the Bhagavad Gita. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. There's the word again, apavarga. Dharmasyahi apavargasya. The ultimate liberation, the fifth dimension, is the state of loving Krishna, attraction for Krishna. And this rasayana kata awakens that when one has proper association of satam, and by the process of hearing, this rasayana sound, thick, rich, just like pouring honey out of a honey bottle. the heart. Says Joshanad Ashvapavarga Vartmani, Apavarga Vartmani is Vartmani's path. As in this verse, Vartma means path. Here it's Satam Gatir. Gati, Prabhupada has translated that as the path. Same message. So there's this over here, the symphony coming up. Shraddha, it goes in sequence. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhakti, Anukramishati, Anukramishati, step by step. So it's a shortened version of the nine stages of bhakti, the preliminary faith. Adau Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu Sangha, Satam. And what do you do in the association of Satam? You do what they do. Bhajana Kriya. And by the process of Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, with as the advanced stages of Narta Vritti come, Nishtha, steadiness. And following steadiness comes this Rati, some attraction, a taste. Ruchi is taste. And Rati is transcendental emotion. We don't have the privilege of accessing transcendental emotion. We get a glimpse what Rupa Goswami teaches in Nectar Devotion is we get a reflection, so we feel some transcendental emotion. Unless you're a very elevated devotee, Rupa Goswami is telling us that's just a reflection. Where do you experience the object? The real thing that the reflection is reflecting. That's Rati. Rati is another word for bhava. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhakti Anukramishati, step by step. So stay in the association, my dear Devahuti, Kapila's teaching. Stay in the association of devotees. These persons who are Satam, they're the right association. And listen carefully to the messages of such persons because they're rasayana katha. It's medicinal. It cures the ailment that you're speaking about, this attraction, attachment for material energy, trying again and again, relentlessly trying to be the enjoyer of material energy, even we get bashed. Keep trying and try very determined. Like we were discussing yesterday. This is a very nice chapter. Lots of talk very nice. Take any chapter, it's very nice. But the glories of devotional service, to understand how to move along the path of devotional service nicely. She's asking that question, and Lord Kapila is going to lay it out for her very, very clearly. And that means for us also. So any comments or questions? Yes?
Activities can take one to the same with the
is an academic question. The scriptural authority is because when you're in the association of devotees, what do? You do things the devotees do. What do devotees do? They chant. Or they're engaged in hearing and chanting. That's why we want devotee association. But it's the hearing and chanting that's the essence. The answer, there's these five, then it goes two, and then it goes one. The two is the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Sri Kanda when they were returning back. They asked Mahaprabhu, what's the duty of a household? And he gave these two things. Serve the devotees, chant the holy name. So then their question was, who's the devotee? So, and that's further elaboration. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after his liberation, he posed a question to Lord Chaitanya. Of all purifying things that one can do, what's the most important one thing? He didn't give your answer. He gave the holy name. Supposing you don't have association of devotees. I know some people that don't have association of devotees. Does that mean they're finished? They're chanting the holy name. There's a Keshava Bharati Maharaj told me this story once. He told me the story that once he was with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, in Prabhupada's quarters, and he was just a young devotee who somehow it happened a bunch of devotees went upstairs after morning class, and he went with them, and a number of them left, and somehow he was just with Prabhupada. He was feeling, wow, I'm so fortunate. Somehow Krishna's amazing here with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting at his desk, chanting japa. So he sat down and was chanting japa with Prabhupada, feeling so fortunate. It's like, what can you imagine? The whole creation as fortunate as sitting with Prabhupada chanting over me. They were chanting for some time, and then Prabhupada became very grave. He stopped chanting. He looked at Keshava Bharati Maharaj, who was then Brahmacharya. Took his beads from his bead bag, held his beads up in the air, like this, looking at his beads, and said, one day, there may be no temples. One day, there may be no devotees, but there will always be the holy name. And that stuck in Keshava Bharati's consciousness. Take shelter of holy name. He made a similar statement about his books. One day there will be no temples, no devotees, but there will be my books. The problem was, in that particular circumstance, from the narration, he was meditating deeply on the shelter of the holy name and how important the shelter of the holy name is. We may have nothing else but the shelter of the holy name. But within the holy name, we have everything. The whole spiritual world. Krishna and all of his devotees and everything within his holy name. So there's devotees there too. Anything else? About it and think about it and so on, but it really doesn't resonate unless there's purity. when there's purity, it's very satisfying. Very satisfying. When you sometimes, I'm sure you've done this, you've sat in Prabhupada memories, people are telling you stories. So many of them, it's just some subtle glance, and they felt Prabhupada was looking right through me, and he saw all of my contamination, and he was accepting me. It was just like all of that happened just from that subtle contact. But it takes, you know, it takes purity. And the recipient of someone who, there's some relationship with someone that's pure, if one can receive, one can open one's heart to that which they have, then you can enter into another realm of exchange. That's way more satisfying than some grosser forms. Far more satisfying. Yes? Could you speak to me instead of to the paper? I can't hear you. No, you can stay right there. But when you're speaking, you're speaking to the paper.
What would be enjoyed by the Lord is it a paradox to say that we are also called co-enjoyers?
Co-enjoyers?
Yes. What would be enjoyed by the Lord is it a paradox to say that we're co-enjoyers?
Depends on how that expression is meant. If what you mean is, by the happiness of love is when the beloved is pleased. And when the beloved is pleased, that's my happiness. In that sense, yes. If that's what you mean by co-enjoyers. You know, other people might mean other things by co-enjoyers. Have a lady's side of anything? Yes? Doesn't make sense, does it? No. It doesn't make sense. It's one of those. There's no rational reason. There's no good reason. But the reason is not a good reason. There's a reason. It's not a good one. It's misuse of free will. There's a Sanskrit term, tatastha, which means marginal. The example, classic example given in the Vedas is there's a river, and there's a river bank, and there's this little line where the river meets the river bank. That little line is neither river nor river bank. It's tatastha. That's us, we're tatastha, marginal. And where we direct consciousness determines where we are. It can be directed towards Krishna, or it can be directed towards the energy of Krishna in an enjoying mood. And that's a capacity that we have, constitutionally, we have free will. But where we direct our consciousness determines our existence. And we misuse that free will. Is there a good reason for it? Absolutely no good reason for it. There's a big mistake. There's no good reason for it. But we did it. Here we are. So you can go round and round about it. Well, why? It doesn't make any sense. And it's true, it doesn't make any sense. We misuse our free will. And there's a very nice statement that Prabhupada makes in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he's describing expanding upon the meaning of anadi. Adi means original, and anadi means, you know, having no origin. So the living entity's conditioned state is called in the 7th and 13th chapter anadi. Prabhupada explains that this particular sense of anadi is you can go back in time and back in time and back in time and back in time and back in time. You can't trace out as far back as you go. You can't find the beginning. That kind of anadi. Nonetheless, it's an event. It's not an event in time that you can trace, but it's an event that we misused our free will. We withdrew our natural happy state into this one, thinking it's, you know, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, raga, dvesha, samudena, dvandava, mohena, bharata. Moha means bewilderment. Dvandava moha means the bewilderment of duality. Dvandava mohena is the product of raga. You know what raga is, right? For music. Raga and emotion means attraction. Because music is supposed to awaken feelings if it's done in the proper way, a certain mood. Raga, dvesha, attraction, repulsion or hatred. When we regarded Krishna with coveting, raga, I'd like to be the enjoyer. Why him all the time? At least sometimes let me be the enjoyer. Like this, you know, this is the wrong application of this co-enjoyer thing. Sometimes him, sometimes me. It's his position. He's the enjoyer. And our position is, our happiness is that he's the enjoyer, and that's our happiness. But sometimes, why not I in that position? But there's an obstacle. That's him. He's the enjoyer. So patient. Prabhupada gives the example of the king. Why is he the king? I can covet the position of king, but there's an obstacle. There's someone already on the throne. Dvesha. Raga, dvesha, samudhena, dvandva, mohena. That's the consequence. Why? No good reason. Big mistake. But we want to be misused our free will, wanting the position of being the enjoyer. And once in this position, bondage is, how do you get out? You can't just say, okay, I've had enough, I want out. you're stuck unless someone comes and frees you. When the sincere call, it's like Devahuti, sincere calling, Kapila, help, help. And he comes with his axe to chop the tree. So, but your question is, it's a classic one. How did this material condition come about? Misuse of free will for no good reason, for bad reason. Anytime we misuse free will, it's a bad choice. Why would we misuse free will? It's so valuable. But when you have a valuable thing, that valuable thing can be properly used or misused. People win the lottery. And they have done studies on what's the effect on the life, the quality of life of people that win the lottery. You know, it's like huge percentage, 80-85% can become completely destroyed. Because they don't know what to do with that. Become involved in all kinds of bad things. drug addiction, and so kind of, so many bad. Although with that, you can do so many good things. They just don't have the quality to handle that opulence. They become destroyed. So we have this free will, and we don't know how to use it. So we have to go to free will school and learn how to use it. What Prabhupada did doesn't exactly just say that we, you remember all the bad things that we did, but what he does say is we've learned our lesson, and therefore we don't do it again. So there must be, you know, something embedded in there that says, I'm not going to do that again. But please don't make the mistake of thinking of that misuse of free will as an event in time, because it's not. Should I explain that? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not ask the misleading question, when were the living entities created? Nor, when the living entities were enthralled, because they're not an event in time. There are two different kinds of time. One is literally eternal, and another is so far back in time one cannot trace it. It's just beyond our capacity. Like Lord Brahma, the firstborn living being, he, when he's born, because he's super intelligent, he wants to know, who am I? And where did I come from? Because there he is, seated on this lotus, in the midst of complete darkness. But because he's intelligent, he considers, I'm seated on a lotus, there must be a stem beneath the lotus, and if I follow the stem, I'll find out where I came from. If it climbs down the stem, he doesn't find the end to it. There's an end to it, but he can't find the end to it. Then he realizes that's not the way to find out where I came from. See, a question that you're raising, Prabhupada comments, we won't be able to understand it in our conditioned state. When we're liberated, we'll understand it. So you don't spin your wheels and run, just keep trying to understand it. But go on the path that where there's light, and when you're, when you've reached that position, then you'll, Prabhupada's teaching this, then you'll understand. So we can explain it, but it's like theoretical. It still doesn't make sense. Why would we misuse our free will when, you know, in the spiritual world, but it's so nice. But, you know, the mistake is proposing it as an event in time. One of the mistakes in trying to understand. You want to add something to this? Okay. Anyone else want to do it? Okay. Okay.
And this is what he there can be different reasons why a spiritual person might show those gestures.
Show. Yeah, sure, sure.
So, how does one know that?
You can ask. In this case, it seems apparent he's just happy with her. He's happy for her and he's happy with her.
So, you find different examples of a kind of smile, not a normal smile, and Krishna's smile, intent is not the same.
Of course not. There's varieties of emotion and expressions of those emotions. Smiling is, you know, one smile for everything. But this one is very clear. Vyasa smiling and Narada smiling and Vyasa is also. Are you happy accepting the body as the object of self-realization? So there's a hint, and you know, he's smiling. Yes, George. Should have felt fine.